Okay, thank you for having me on board for tonight's meeting. I think a key thing to think about is what the Chinese talk about it in terms of China's space dream. And this was talked about by President Xi Jinping in 2013 when he said the space dream is part of the dream to make China stronger. With development of space programs, the Chinese people will take bigger strides to explore further into space, exploring the vast universe, developing space programs, and becoming an aerospace power has always been the dream we've been striving for. So everything the Chinese do in space, from the human spaceflight angle through to planetary probes, through to military space activities, and even the exploitation of lunar resources, is all about achieving this China space dream that is really focused on making China a comprehensive space power by 2049, to build China into a space power in all respects, in particular to acquire key technologies and conduct experiments on such technologies to raise our manned spaceflight capacity, laying a foundation for exploring and developing cislunar space. So they're focused very much on the moon, although their current activities are focused on low Earth orbit with the Chinese space station. They have their sights set on the moon and having a presence on the moon and in cislunar space, not just for planting flags and leaving footprints in the lunar regolith, but also for exploiting lunar resources for economic and strategic purposes. So they see very much in terms of an astro-strategic future, in terms of the China space dream is linked very much to the broader China dream, which focuses on a rejuvenated China that is at the center of a Sino-centric world order. And so the next 28 years in achieving this will be really critical for the Chinese. This year is the 100th anniversary of the founding of the Chinese Communist Party. 2049 is the 100th year anniversary of the founding of the People's Republic of China. So between these two crucial dates is the make or break period for the Chinese space program. They're obviously engaged in planetary missions. We've seen lunar exploration. We've seen probes to Mars now with Zhurong. But they're also doing a lot of activities in terms of military space capabilities and obviously human spaceflight. There's also a private sector that's emerging in China that I think is really important and has been active since President Xi announced that it was okay to start establishing a commercial sector in China for space. And the ultimate goal, I think, is for China by 2049 to establish a Chinese-led space order that ultimately replaces the US-led space order. So the question that we have to ask ourselves is, how should we respond to those space ambitions? Just quickly run through some of the key developments. More recently, we've seen the China Lunar Exploration Program that's now in its third phase. A number of landers and rovers have been dispatched to the moon, the most recent being Chang'e 4 to the far side on 12th of December 2018, and Chang'e 5 doing a sample return mission on 1st of December 2020. There is a series of future Chang'e missions going forward, another lunar sample return from the South Pole sometime by 2023-24, and then two really interesting missions. Chang'e 7 will be a complex mission incorporating a rover and also a flying vehicle to do a comprehensive exploration of the lunar South Pole and a sample return. And then Chang'e 8, by 2027, will deploy to the lunar South Pole to test in-situ resource utilization and do 3D printing. All of that is leading up to establishing a robotic lunar base at the lunar South Pole. That's key in terms of establishing the framework for ultimately taikonauts on the lunar surface sometime in the mid-2030s. We've also seen, obviously, at Mars, Tianwen-1 and the Zhurong rover, which has touched down at Utopia Planitia. And you've got the photo there of Zhurong rolling off the lander and is now set to do roving around Utopia Planitia to do survey of the environment and also in particular to hunt for water ice underneath the ground. Chinese space station is now beginning to be assembled. We had the launch of Tianhe-1, which is the core module. You've got a second module that will, a series of additional modules, Wentian and Mengtian, to launch in 2022. And then you'll have a space telescope called Zhuntian which will launch as a free flyer to operate near the Chinese space station by 2024. But the goal is to complete the space station by the end of 2022. And this is what it looks like with the core module, Tianhe 1, and then the two experimental modules, and then a cargo spaceship. They tried to launch a cargo spaceship earlier this month, but it was scrapped. So that mission is still yet to fly. But the whole point is to establish this space station, a total weight of around 60 tons that can take between 3 and 6 astronauts at any particular time. But the important thing about the Chinese space station is not the hardware. It's about the soft power implications of the Chinese space station. The Chinese see the Chinese space station as their stepping stone ultimately to a more ambitious human spaceflight program that ultimately leads to them establishing a human presence on the lunar surface by the mid-2030s. Now, it's obviously important to note that for the moment, the Americans remain committed with Project Artemis to getting astronauts back onto the lunar surface sometime in this decade. I don't think it will be 2024. I think it'll be later in the decade. But the Biden administration at the moment is saying we are sticking with Artemis. Whether that holds through to the next administration or subsequent administrations will depend an awful lot on how the US economy fares, what happens with the COVID pandemic. If that takes a reverse turn, then that could put in dangerous and spending plans, international developments in terms of, you know, US commitments. But for the moment, the news is that the Americans are committed to Artemis. So the Americans will beat the Chinese to the lunar surface. That's very clear. I don't think the notion of a space race between China and the United States is accurate in that sense. There is no race. The Americans are going to get there first. But I don't think the Chinese are that focused on getting there ahead of the Americans. I think their focus is on building a long-term presence on and around the moon that ultimately can contribute towards them achieving the China space dream. And so really what matters more is the soft power implications of things like the Chinese space station and ultimately their automated science station on the lunar surface. It's that soft power aspect that boosts China's prestige and also allows other states to align with China in supporting China's ambitions that I think really is the prize here. So the CSS, the Chinese Space Station, is really about establishing a presence in low Earth orbit that ultimately will exceed the life of the International Space Station, leading to the Chinese Space Station replacing the International Space Station as the only orbital platform. Certainly, the ISS isn't extended beyond 2024 or isn't replaced, then that will be the situation which would have huge implications in terms of international perceptions. It would reinforce the perception of China achieving its space dream as a leading rising power in all respects, whilst at the same time suggesting the US leadership in space is disappearing. And Bill Nelson, you pointed out about him making a point about the Mars rover Zhurong. I think the more important indicator is the Chinese space station and ultimately where that leads, of course, is the moon. That MOU between China and Russia on space cooperation extending from the CSS to lunar activities in that sense is highly significant. So let's look at where that leads us. At the moment, as you note, there's no formal commitment that has been declared about a human lunar exploration program. But there's every indication that the Chinese are laying the groundwork for a future presence on the lunar surface. On 9th of March 2021, the Chinese and the Russians signed an MOU on establishing a robotic lunar exploration base. They call it the International Lunar Research Station. This will be focused very much on in-situ resource utilization and ultimately acting as a staging facility to enable and facilitate crewed missions to the lunar surface. It also, as I said, contributes to that goal of getting states to realign to China and away from the United States. For decades now, Russia and the US have cooperated on the ISS, and now Russia has indicated that it is pulling out of supporting the ISS and instead is going over to China with this MOU on the International Lunar Research Station. So that's really significant in an astrostrategic sense, because what it's really about is building up China's leadership credibility in the eyes of the international community and ultimately diminishing US leadership. And it's also important that that lunar research station is going to be located very close to where it's likely the US will focus its lunar surface activities in the later series of Artemis landings, particularly to establish a permanent human presence on the lunar surface. So you're going to have essentially a US-led facility that will be established later in the decade on the moon, very close to a Chinese and a Russian facility in the same location. And that suggests some interesting challenges in terms of potential for competition, particularly over resources. So there's a soft power aspect that's really important here. The International Lunar Research Station, in my opinion, should be seen in a similar context to the Chinese space station in terms of its soft power benefits and as a means to compete with US-led Artemis missions. So there is sort of some debate, you know, over whether this aspect of competition on the moon, some people call it the high frontier. Some people disagree with that term, but this competition, is it overhyped? Is it something that we need to be worried about? I don't think it's necessarily implying a military conflict on the lunar surface, the sort of thing you do see in For All Mankind. But it does imply astro-strategic competition for influence and prestige and ultimately soft power. And I think that's significant. We need to be thinking about how we respond to that. The International Lunar Research Station, as it's currently being configured and thought about, also is obviously focused very much on ISRU, in-situ resource utilization. And that opens up some even more ambitious goals for the Chinese, including, and I would emphasize here, space-based solar power satellites and space manufacturing. I think the space-based solar power is really significant because the Chinese are aiming to demonstrate wireless power beaming this year, which is a key technology for space-based solar power satellites. I've written a piece about this in the ASPE Strategist some time back, and my finding was that if the Chinese could establish space-based solar power as an actual capability, then they could very quickly dominate a global market in terms of space-based solar power over and above the Americans. But of course, to really do that, they have to have access to lunar resources to build the things. And so that's where that competition of resources could come in. The Americans have established the Artemis Accords. China and Russia haven't been invited to sign those, but they haven't shown an interest in signing them either. So it does raise the interesting question is, are they going to go for an alternative approach to space resource utilization that maybe challenges US and allied interests up there? Thinking about the astrostrategic geography of space, it's very interesting, this quote from Ye Peijian, who's the head of the Chinese, he was head of Chinese lunar exploration program in 2017. He said, the universe is an ocean. The moon is the Diu Islands. Mars is Hunyan Island. If we don't go there now, even though we're capable of doing so, then we will be blamed by our descendants. If others go there, then they will take over and you won't be able to go even if you want to. This is reason enough. So although the Chinese are doing science on the moon with their U2 rovers and their Chang'e landers, there's also a soft power and astro-strategic dimension and a national prestige aspect. With Chang'e 4, for example, landing on the far side in January 2019, something the Americans have never done, okay, even with Apollo.